You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Devin.
Good morning.
How be you both this wonderful Friday morning?
Splendid.
There was a question mark at the end of that. Is that debatable still, or?
I don't know. It's morning. It's early.
Yeah. Early? It's not early. It's already 10:30, almost 11. That is not early.
Is there an AM or a PM by the time?
Fine. Technicalities. Minor technicalities. Devin, how about you? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm survived another Valentine's Day. Hope everyone got to spend that with someone special.
Happy
like Twitter
happy,
or something.
Happy Singles Day to all of you out there, Devin. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, I made it count. Okay. I watched a chick flick, a rom-com, and had a bunch of chocolate and just enjoyed the evening. Have you guys seen Crazy Stupid Love? I love it. It's so good.
Yeah.
It is a good show.
One of my favorites.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
let's not go there anymore.
No, let's not.
We do have
stuff to talk about, although there won't be any Jazz games for the next 8 days. I believe the next game is until, what, Thursday, Friday next week. But in the meantime, we do have an All-Star game. All-Star weekend to talk about, albeit somewhat meaningless for those in Utah, but we still have an All-Star weekend to talk about. But let's start with the Jazz. John?
Let's start with the Jazz.
Yes.
They are currently in sixth place. You know, due for a break, I think. Let everyone kind of get rested up. Let those who've been injured get healed. They are still only two games out of fourth place. Thunder lost last night, so now they are five games out of third. Still feels like that's a bit out of reach. I know Thunder have a difficult schedule coming up, but I think they're playing with so much confidence that I have a hard time.
Are we really gonna say that they're playing with so much confidence, or is just Paul George? Oh my gosh, do we even need to? We'll save that for NBA news and notes. But Paul George has been MVP caliber, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
For the
He's
Thunder this
conversation.
Year. So, no, and I'm with you. I'm not sure we'll catch the Thunder, but Portland is catchable. We'll talk more about some news regarding them when we get to the NBA News and Notes section, too, because I'm curious your thoughts on with the changes that they've received, whether the Jazz can and will catch them and whether it improves them at all. But I want to save that conversation. Let's talk about what has happened. Jazz come off of a loss to Golden State. It's a tough night. I don't know what your thoughts are on this. I'd love to hear them, but I want to go to a couple of things said post game by Golden State. You had Steph Curry talk about this, and then Steve Kerr in his post game remarks talked about this. Both of them mentioned they felt that game was won in the first quarter.
I would agree.
So
when I first looked at it, it was already 20-11, and I kind of went, oh crap, is it going to be one of those nights?
Yeah.
And it was impressive how the Jazz came back, and then about, I don't know, middle of the fourth, everything seems to be going well. It feels like the Jazz are going to win. And then like three or four possessions in the row, Jazz lose or miss, and Golden State just runs down and scores right away. And it was just like in a minute, it just suddenly game felt over.
Yeah, that first quarter was tough. And like I said, I agree. And Steve Kerr really talked about, he almost made it in the way he was conversing about it, made it sound like Golden State was very fortunate to have won that first quarter, because he felt like they didn't have to really fight or play from behind the rest of the game. I think he felt like things would have been different had the Jazz won that first quarter or had made it at least competitive, because he really felt like the Jazz had made a real great game of it through the final three quarters, and he's not sure that the Warriors may have been able to overcome it if they hadn't got off to that hot start.
Well, I saw comments after the Warriors lost. Who did the Warriors? Was it Blazers?
Yeah.
After the Warriors lost the next game, and Kerr got ejected and freaking out at the refs, I heard a lot of talk about how the Warriors, yeah, they're winning most of their games, but they're not like, they're not putting teams away quickly enough. And so a surprising amount of their games have actually been close. I mean, both times Jazz have lost to Warriors, it's been single digits, and a lot of their victories are coming that way.
Well, and if you look at it the way that, because the Jazz have lost 2 of 3, you look at the one win for the Jazz, it was lopsided. The Jazz ran away with that one, if I remember correctly. I think they won by 20 in that game.
That sounds right, but I'm going to look, because I keep thinking of the 30-point win they had last year.
Well, they had they had two games last year where they played the Warriors and they beat them by 20-plus, that 30-point being one of them.
This year, they beat them by 5 points.
They beat the Warriors by 5?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because I felt like, I think at one point in time, they were up by quite a bit, and then the Warriors came storming back. It just seemed to me that it was more lopsided than it ended up being. I just know that game excluded, I guess, the Jazz, the wins that have come against the Warriors have been blowouts. I mean, last year they blew them out twice. So it's interesting to me. You're right. There's something to talk about there with the Warriors. And I think equally something to be said about the Jazz. The Jazz had fight. They couldn't overcome turnovers, which was bad. Their turnovers against the Warriors, I think they ended up with, 18 or 17? Somewhere around there, but they couldn't overcome those, and they just didn't overcome that first quarter. And I thought defensively they played well throughout the rest of the game. Rudy Gobert wasn't as much a factor on offense, but he most definitely was on the defensive side of the ball. And the Jazz defensively looked like they were coasting a little bit more in the second half and doing quite well.
Well, they lost the first quarter by 11.
Right.
And they lost the fourth quarter by 10.
Yeah.
And then in the second and third, they won 70 to 56.
Right.
So it's like they got knocked down, they came way back, and then they got knocked down again.
Right. So, I mean, is it a barometer for where the Jazz are? I don't know if you can still say that yet. I think it's more a barometer of Golden State, as you pointed to. And then the game prior to that, prior to Golden State, that's the crazy
stomped
thing
on the Spurs. Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, they did. They stomped on the Spurs. Rudy had himself a heck of a game against LaMarcus. Aldridge really didn't play well in that game at all. One and one in the last two. You're right. It's nice to have the break. I'm not worried yet. I still think the Jazz are going to be pretty close to 50 wins, and I still think they're going to take that fourth seed.
I think so too. And the thing about, since the Jazz have gone to the second round twice in a row, I think we feel pretty good that they're going to get there again. But I think this year the matchups is going to be tougher than the previous 2 years. Like, I felt pretty good about when they faced the Clippers. And then I felt pretty good when they faced the Thunder last year because they had Carmelo Anthony, and it's just like they can beat them. This year, they're probably going to face either Portland or Houston in the first round, and both of those teams have given the Jazz troubles. And so I'm not as confident of the Jazz getting to the second round this year as I was the previous two seasons,
right?
Because of how the matchups are going to be.
And by the way, just to point out, the Jazz season series by against both Houston and Portland are tied. That's how evenly matched you might say that it could be.
Yeah, and if they tie with Portland right now, they have the advantage because of division record.
Yep.
Houston, it goes to conference record, and Houston has a better conference record.
Not by much, if I remember correctly, though. I think they're one loss in the loss column difference, and I think in the win column, Houston's got 3 or 4 more games than they do.
Well, they both have 16 losses,
okay,
and Houston has 21 wins, and the Jazz have 19 wins. So the Jazz have 2 more Western opponents coming up than Houston's had.
That's right. That's what it was. I knew it was something more like that. So the Jazz would do well to position themselves for that home court down the stretch. That means win your Western Conference games, win your division games. And wouldn't you know it, their toughest division opponents are yet to come. They've still got 2 more against Denver, and they've still got, 2 more against OKC, I believe.
Is it two more? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Two more against Denver, two more against Oklahoma City.
And I think they play the T-Wolves one more or two more.
There is a T-Wolves. Yes. I think that's it.
I think so, too. So
yeah, that's it.
They have a chance to put themselves in the driver's seat in that situation by beating those teams on nights. And, you know, Denver's slipping, so there might be some opportunity there for the Jazz. So let's talk All-Star with the Jazz real quick. Donovan Mitchell, believe he's in the Rising Stars game tonight, yes? No? I can't remember if he... Yes, yes,
it's
he is.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
Team World and Team USA.
Yep, and then I believe he is... Did they say he's involved with commentary for the dunk contest tomorrow?
Yes. Yep.
So that is the extent of the Jazz involvement this weekend in All-Star Weekend.
Unless Anthony Davis's shoulder is worse than they think, and then he'll have to back out of the All-Star game, and then they'll have to do a last-second replacement.
Does Rudy get in? Maybe. Yes or no? Call it right now.
If no. Davis is out, then yes.
No.
If they decide Davis is questionable and they only make it a game time decision, then no.
Okay. Devin,
but he's next to mine.
Devin, you're convinced no. Why?
Because Rudy's already on the beach. Rudy's not coming. He's just going to say, you know what? Forget you guys. And you know who's going to step in?
Who?
Donovan.
Draymond.
Oh. You think Donovan will get the nod because he's there?
Maybe. Let me dream.
Fine, dream. Go ahead.
I mean
dream.
He's as of how he was playing in January, I would say he's deserving of it. Would you not?
I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah.
So,
but the same argument can be made for Rudy. So he's been healthy entire season, and he's what, number one or number two, top two or three in almost every statistical category.
No, I'm not saying that Rudy's not deserving. I'm saying that Rudy's going to say, forget you guys. I'm already on vacation.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to call me the night before and have me fill in. I ain't your backup plan sort of thing. I'm not your side chick.
Right.
Yeah.
But Donovan's already there. So, you know, Okay. Fine, whatever. I'll step in if I have to.
Yeah. Well, we've talked all Jazz, right? Do we have anything else on the docket to talk with the Utah Jazz right now? John, let's do this real quick. You mentioned this morning on the Jedi and Germs account on Twitter the picking up of, you know, of players out there right now. You give me your feel on this.
As far as the Jazz picking anybody up, yeah. I think they would have done it by now if they were going to, because if they want to pick somebody up, that means waiving somebody.
Yeah. And you talked about that on the Twitter account this morning. You said something about Kavanaugh and Bradley.
Oh, someone mentioned Kavanaugh and Bradley, and Kavanaugh's a two-way player. So if they wanted to like waive Kavanaugh, then a buyout candidate they'd be picking up, they'd be signing as a two-way player. And I don't know if there's
right
anyone left who would agree to that, or the Jazz feel is good enough to even bother with something like that. If there's someone they feel is good enough to be on the main roster, then you would think they'd waive one of their guys with expiring deals. But I don't think there's anyone out there that makes them go, okay, let's go ahead and waive Tabo Cephalosha so we can get this guy. Or
agreed.
Udo, or like Niang, they have him to a 3-year deal, super cheap. And I don't see anyone out there that would make them want to do that. They're not going to waive Neto, so I don't see them clearing a roster spot for anybody. I don't think there's anybody out there that's good enough for them to do that.
Okay.
All the main ones were picked up within like 24 hours of getting waived, so.
Which was expected. In fact, a lot of them were predicted to go or end up where they did end up. I think it was a foregone conclusion on quite a few of them. That they were going to end up where they did. Okay, well, that's it for Jazz talk this week. Let's move over to NBA news and notes. So let's just continue our talk of those players being picked up. You know, I want to get back to the All-Star break, but since we're on the topic, let's talk about some of those players and where they went.
Well, ex-Jazzman Rodney Hood was traded to the Blazers, and the Blazers since picked up Enes Kanter on the buyout market. So you know, I would say it's more likely than anything else that the Jets are going to face the Blazers in the first round of the playoffs. So there's that added element of two ex-teammates being on that team.
So my question to you is, I've been waiting to ask this, does Portland get better with those two moves?
Marginally. They got better at scoring. I think their offense is better. I wouldn't say it helps their defense, but it makes their offense better.
Okay. How much do we really see Cantor contribute is my next question, because they're pretty, I'd say they're fairly deep up front at that stretch spot. Does he really see a lot of time for them?
Cantor, you can put in, well, I mean, who's he going to take minutes from? Probably Myers Leonard the most, or Zach Collins. So he's somebody you can throw in to go get offensive rebounds and buckets. He's not going to give you anything on defense.
Right.
But he is someone who can put up some quick scoring and get those boards.
I just don't see him taking minutes from Leonard or Collins, because both of them have played extremely well for the Blazers. In fact, at stretch, at the stretch position, I mean, they've been some pretty decent shooters at the three-point line.
Yeah, and Cantor, I mean, the Jazz tried to make Cantor a three-point threat, and it didn't. That's like one of the main reasons he was unhappy and wanted out, because he didn't like the role Quinn was trying to put him in. So they, I don't see him doing anything as far as outside shooting. I think he's there to be in the post, draw people in to help free up the perimeter.
Yeah,
and they just hope that he brings enough on scoring and offensive boards that it's worth having him on the floor for what he's giving up for defense.
So my next question is Rodney Hood. How does, where does he contribute for them? Because I think he might see more minutes than Cantor in reality.
Yeah, he's already seeing minutes. He's already in their rotation. He's a, he's an off the bench scorer.
Okay. And he's, and he's a decent defender too, which I think is good for them.
Yeah. He's decent.
I love
it. He's shooting 50% from three since he joined the Blazers.
Okay. I love the pause when I say decent defender. Oh, yeah. I brought that up.
Statistically, he was one of the worst defenders on the Jazz, but
yes.
Maybe it's just because everybody else on the Jazz was better, and maybe on other teams with worse defenders, he just looks better.
Yeah, who knows? Know. Yeah. All right. Other quick notes on some of the movement. Wes Matthews. Not surprised that he got where he is, and I actually think that's a great move for Indiana. And I don't know if we mentioned that last week, but great, great move for Indiana. I can't think of any other buyouts that really went down the last week. Can you remember any? Are there any others?
Well, Kenneth Faried went to, I think he went to Houston.
Worked out well for them, I think. I think that's a good move for Houston.
Yeah, he's been there. Did we mention Markieff?
Oh yeah, that Markieff happened.
Morris went to the Thunder.
Yep, that just happened yesterday, I believe. Right?
Oh, he went to the Thunder.
Yeah, that was just announced yesterday. Markieff Morris signed with the Thunder off the buyout market. That's a good move for the Thunder. Very good move for the Thunder.
Yeah, it is.
So that we weren't going to catch him already, and now I'm not sure we're going to catch him at all. I mean, that's a very good move for the Thunder. Does that make the Thunder, they've got some pieces there. Are they legit contenders against Golden State?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say, I mean, they're deeper if they can have everybody healthy. Is everybody healthy now? Is Roberson back? Let's see. Looks like he, nope. They don't know if he's going to be back.
Okay.
But everybody else is pretty much ready. Jeremy Grant, I think they plan on him being back after the All-Star break.
But, I mean, just comparing them to last year's team.
They're pretty solid.
Yeah,
I think last year's team, they've added Schroeder. They add Morris. They add, like, Super Saiyan Paul George instead of, regular Paul George.
And Grant has been a massive contributor for them. I think he has been huge for them this year. One of their X factors, I think.
But they added a big man too. I'm totally blanking on the name. Nerlens Noel. He was a new addition, right?
Yep. And he's worked out pretty well for them too.
So they seem well prepared to go up against anyone and have that depth. And, perhaps one of the biggest things was addition by subtraction. No more Melo.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. I think they may be the second best team in the West, truthfully.
Yeah, it feels like it's still hard to believe Denver is still second place in the West. But supposedly they had the easiest schedule in the first half, and they're going to have one of the toughest in the second half. So they still have a lot of challenging opponents ahead. They still got to face the Jazz twice.
Yep.
They still got to face Blazers twice. Still got to face the Warriors twice. Thunder twice. It's like everybody who's good, they still have to go through.
And their defense, and I saw this from Locke and from somebody else who you might have even said something, their defense has dipped drastically. They were top six, I think it was, in the league through December, and then January took a dip, and then it has almost plummeted. The last I checked, they were down in
They're 13th right now.
Yeah, 13th overall, but I think if you were to look at first half versus now, I think they were top 10 in the first half. I think they're bottom 10 in the second half right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's why I think the drastic move is – I'm trying to think. Locke tweeted this out. I think he was one of the ones I saw the tweet from. Somebody mentioned that they dropped all the way to 26th since January, I thought.
All right. I just picked a random day. And I'm going from December 20th on, which feels about half of the games.
Right.
And Denver's defense is 24th.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to talk about drastic drops.
Since December 20th, yeah, Denver is 24th. Houston's 25th. Ugh. That's interesting. Spurs are 23rd.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Some interesting things have happened since late December, early January for teams. And we're seeing that. That's why I'm not surprised. Is there a potential possibility that we see Denver drop all the way to say that 4-5 matchup for the Jazz in the first round?
I have a hard time seeing that, but I can see them at least falling to third if Thunder stay as hot as they are. Thunder's only two games back from Nuggets for second place.
You just mentioned eight games for the Nuggets, though, that I'm not sure they even go 500 in that stretch the way they've been playing, and I start to think that they have to drop to at least third, if not opportunity at that fourth. I don't know.
They're five games ahead of fourth.
Okay.
That would be quite the drop, but it is interesting that that's where their defense is. Now, their offense in that same amount of time is third. So 24th in defense, but third in offense. So they still have a decent net rating, 10th overall net rating in this span.
Right.
But, you know, okay, let's do net rating since December 20th. Of the Western teams, it is Warriors, Jazz, Blazers, Rockets, Thunder, and then the Nuggets.
Wow.
So still a playoff team, but a net of a road playoff team.
Right. And I'm just, like I said, things even out, and I can't think that they sustain much down the stretch.
So. Very similar record to the Jazz. They're 18-9 in that range that I randomly picked. Jazz are 17-8.
Right.
I mean, interesting.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so let's move from there over to All-Star break, and let's talk real quick in All-Star. I want to ask the question, are you interested in the All-Star break at all? You going to watch things?
I will probably watch some of the Rising Stars, and I don't know. I'll probably watch the 3-point, the slam dunk. I don't really care about the skills. I really, really don't care about the celebrity game. And as far as the actual game, if I don't have anything else going on, I'll probably watch some of that. If Davis does have to drop out and Mitchell or Rudy gets in, then I will definitely watch. I'm like mildly curious. Okay. I'd be curious to see if they actually play defense this time, because the last couple of years has been really bad.
Who are we kidding, John? Really?
I mean, last year was a tiny bit better, but 2 years ago was the worst All-Star game in the history of the game.
Right.
So,
Devin, are you interested in anything this weekend?
Oh, CC, I'm very intrigued.
Oh dear.
Sorry. You guys watch Highly Questionable every once in a while, right? Poppy, come on.
Can't say that I
get
have.
Get the reference.
Sorry.
Last time I watched it, I thought this was terrible. I'm never watching this again.
To each their own. But no,
Devin, that really failed miserably.
I really don't care. I really don't care. Did we lose listeners?
Probably not.
Maybe.
Carry on.
Comedy is trial and error. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm curious, but I watch it every year. I mean, it seems like middle of February is like Valentine's Day and NBA love. You know what I mean? Like it just goes together this weekend. You know, yeah, the game itself isn't all that exciting, but you know, it's on a Sunday night, so what else am I going to be doing, truthfully?
And I'm with John. I will probably be watching and recording, if I can't watch it, the dunk contest and 3-point contest. And here's the deal. I have a 12-year-old son who is big into basketball in the NBA right now, and my interest will probably follow his interest. If he intends on watching it all, then by default, I'll be watching it with him.
Here's one thing that does intrigue me, though. Last year, we watched the Rising Stars game, and Donovan Mitchell did something different from everyone else on that court.
Yes.
He facilitated.
Yes, he did.
So you didn't see him going, you know, for all the dunks, this, that, and the other. He was there trying to set other guys up. He was throwing lobs, you know.
Like that behind the back lob as he was heading? Yep. Yeah, that's still one of the coolest things.
And so I'm wondering if in his sophomore season he demands a little bit more time with the ball, or if he takes that same role of, you know, I'm a team player. This is how I play the game. You know, I want to see how he approaches a game that doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's where my big interest is in the game tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
Last year's All-Star Rising Star game, Donovan had 7 points, 7 assists, 5 steals, 2 blocks.
And it went so quietly unnoticed by most people. That's the crazy
thing. Yeah, Jaylen Brown had 35. He was the chucker for Team USA, but Team World killed him. It was
Simmons had himself a game,
155 to 124. Simmons had 13 assists.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, there's your All-Star preview. There's much to talk about. I get a kick out of some of the sideshows as much as anything, and some of the announcers to listen to, but even that gets old after a while. So All-Star weekend, you tell us, where is your interest? Quick look at standings. John, let's take a look at the West and East standings.
Yes. West, you have the Warriors are number one. Nuggets are 2 games back at second. Thunder are 2 games behind them at third. And then fourth is Blazers, fifth is Rockets, sixth is Jazz, seventh is Spurs, eighth is Clippers. Clippers are still holding on to that eighth seed, wow, even after they traded away most of their talent. But they have been winning enough games that they're still ahead of the Kings. Kings are only a game back, but Kings are still sitting there at ninth. Lakers have lost 2 in a row. They are now 3 games out of the eighth seed.
Okay, pick your eighth seed out of those three teams, because I'll tell you what, I think that Sacramento is on the cusp and could very well get there. Do the Lakers write it and turn it around is my question.
That is a good question. I can't help but think LeBron is going to turn it on more in some of these games, but they are 3 games back and the supporting cast has been deflated. I think the Pelicans did wonderful mind games with them. It cost Dale Demps his job, but I love how he strung out the Lakers and ultimately didn't do a deal and kind of killed the chemistry on that team. And I, you know, of those three teams, I feel like it's going to be the Kings unless the Clippers have a really easy schedule from here on out.
I have to agree. I think it's going to be the Kings, but like you said, I mean, I could see LeBron turning it on and I could see him coming, you know, coming pretty fast. The one guy that seemed, and you tell me, maybe you've seen a couple more, you know, results than I have, but Kuzma is the one who doesn't seem to have been fazed much by the trade deadline, because he's had some really good games since the trade deadline.
Yeah, he's been their number two guy all year, really. But see, even then, their defense has just been atrocious. I know Lonzo Ball has been out, but is he really that giant a linchpin for them?
No. I mean, so, according to his dad, he is, but no. I mean, yeah. According to his dad, he's the best player on that team, but no.
In fact, the last time a team scored less than 115 points on them was back in January when they played the Suns.
Wow.
Everybody's scoring on the Lakers. Actually, let me jump to that. Okay. I'm still on December 20th. Let's see how the Lakers are. Defensively, the Lakers are 15th. Okay, they're in the middle. Offensively, they are 25th.
Ew.
It is their offense that's struggling.
Yes.
In fact, looking at the net between the Clippers, Kings, and Lakers, Clippers are actually 13th for this last 29-30 games. Kings are 20th. Okay, that's interesting. And then the Lakers are 24th. So lately, the Lakers have been playing like one of the worst teams in the league.
Right.
And it has shown.
Yes, it has. All right, let's look over to the East.
Okay, Eastern standings. Milwaukee, number one. Raptors, number two, and they're only a game behind. Bit of a dip for third. They are 4.5 games behind the Raptors, but Pacers are third. They are still holding on. Fourth is the Celtics. Fifth is the Sixers. And then there's a really big gap to sixth place with the Brooklyn Nets. And they seem to be playing well enough. They're going to hold on to that. Seventh seed is the Charlotte Hornets at 27-30, which is the same record of the 11th seed Minnesota Timberwolves in the West.
Wow.
And eighth seed is the Detroit Pistons at 26. Actually, there is currently a tie for the eighth seed between the Detroit Pistons and Miami Heat at 26-30.
Wow.
And Magic are only a half game behind that. So who knows? You've got four teams within a game of each other for the seventh and eighth seed. So Magic have won five in a row. Well, that's interesting. So Magic might actually be making a surge for the playoffs. They're not out of it yet.
So that seventh and eighth seed is going to be a fun battle to watch in the East, as is reality, that top one and two seed. You know, it's interesting to me that you've got one and two are separated by a game and battling. And then you've got, you know, the Pacers there, and you've got three, four, and five that are there are two or three tiers there in the East then, aren't there, for the playoffs as far as where those teams are at.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. You have Bucks and Raptors at the top. Then your tier two is Pacers, Celtics, Sixers. I still think the Pacers will fall to fifth by the end of this, but they've been playing well. And then you have the Nets right there at sixth, and then you have a bunch of garbage teams fighting for the right to get slaughtered in the first round.
Yeah. Slaughter is a good way of putting it. All right. Well, that's your standings, and it'll be interesting. Intensity will pick up starting next weekend when the post All-Star break gets going again, and I cannot wait. So,
yep.
Any other NBA news and notes? Trying to think of any other news that we may have missed. I think that's it. So let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
Do we have to? It's a challenge, guys. It's a challenge this time of year to come up with these quick hits. So bear with me.
Okay.
Okay. Denver gets IT back. Is it important or not important? We've been talking about them. We talked about their offensive rating, their defensive rating. I don't think he helps the defensive rating.
I don't think he really helps either end.
But does he move the needle at all?
No.
John?
Not really.
I think
they've been playing well without him. He is that dynamic scorer. He is a liability on defense, but Denver hasn't really cared that much about defense this year because they're awesome. Offensive has been so good. I think he helps him stay in second place.
I'm not even sure he does that, John. I think IT is a good feel-good story, right? Coming back after the way he was dealt by Boston and after the way things went down, he's in a good situation. I'm not going to take away from that. I just think that's all it is. It's a feel good story for IT, if anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've talked about the Lakers. We've talked about their struggles. I just want to ask the question, is Luke Walton's seat getting hot? Because some people seem to think it is. And if it is, should it be? Or even if it's not, should it be getting hot?
I don't think so, because it's not his fault he has the roster he has. I mean, they picked up LeBron, and then they added all these misfit toys around him. And Lakers were playing fairly decent last year. I mean, they were, I don't know, what did they finish? 38-44 or something like that. So they were showing progress. This year, you've seen progress in Kuzma. I don't think you've seen enough from Ingram. But I think once this summer comes and they get that second star, that's the year you really evaluate Luke.
Yeah. Now, the unfortunate part for Luke, if anything, is that he becomes a fall guy. But I'm with John on this one. I don't know that they're going to do so yet. I think Magic is willing to hold out longer with him and give him the opportunity to continue once they get him the right pieces.
Okay. Next quick hit. Do you know who the leading scorer is in Sonics franchise history?
Say that again?
The leading scorer in the Seattle Supersonics franchise history. I'll save you the trouble.
Is it Peyton or Kemp? Kemp?
I was going to say Kemp, but I'm not sure it was Kemp.
It's now Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook.
You said Sonics.
Yeah, but in the Sonics Thunder franchise,
So now you add the Thunder as the / Thunder.
Yeah, he moved into that spot, and I thought that was really weird to see, because I would have expected that the Glove or like you said, Kemp or someone would have more points than Russ did, but Russ is already up there.
Johnny pulled a fast one on us there.
He stopped being a Sonic like 7 years ago.
But it's still the same franchise.
Well, then you gotta give us that qualifier sooner. He got us, Johnny got us.
Does that surprise you, though?
No.
Well, if you're gonna smash the two franchises together, no.
It's one franchise. It's one franchise, John.
Okay, there was the Seattle Sonics, and now they're not there anymore.
Okay, if it's one franchise, if you're going to smash the two names together, Devin.
If it was the Oklahoma City Sonics, maybe?
Well, look, when the Jazz get sold and move to Seattle, we'll have this argument again about one franchise or two.
Sounds good.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. Let me see. Was there anything else NBA that I wanted to touch on? Oh, I got one. Did you guys see the Dawn issue ones?
No.
You didn't see the shoes? I don't have a picture of them.
I think I did, but I can't remember because I remember when I saw them, I remember seeing a bunch of different wild shoes. Yeah. Some story that was going over them. So I don't remember his specifically.
He posted a photo on his Instagram of going to the commercial shoot for them. And then there's the picture of him wearing them sitting in the big fancy chair,
which are a little different.
But he's got the Venom colorway again. And now I have to see if I can find it so that I can show you guys.
I got them.
Oh, and they look kind of Venomish on the bottom.
Yeah, they got a venom tooth on the back. Send them over in the chat, will you?
I like these. These are cool.
Yeah, Alan needs to see this. Yeah. He's pulling up some of the older ones. But that was one of the things is people saw the Spider-Man colorway, and they weren't necessarily huge on that. But I saw those Venom ones, and those are beautiful shoes.
I see them now. Never mind. I see them.
You got it?
That's them,
no.
isn't it?
No, those aren't them. Those are Dames.
My bad.
Hang on, I'm putting it in the chat. There you go.
Alan is not a sneakerhead.
I'm not.
He's not. It's okay.
That's the same ones I just showed you. John just sent those out. That's the same ones I just looked at. You sure that's not them? Because that has the Venom. That has the Venom design on this on the side of the soles. You sure that's not them?
That's not them.
That's not them.
You
that's
said
not
it, them. Was it Chirp Jazz? You're saying did something about it?
I saw that Eric posted something. Let me hurry and find him.
Okay.
He put us on pause while he finds him. I'm looking back through his timeline, and I am not seeing them.
See, I see Dawn 1 issue, and they're red and blue, so I'm not sure.
Okay, I got him. Let me share these over to you, John.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Oh, it was Taylor Griffin that tweeted them, but...
Okay, so I just sent you over the photo.
Are those...
These are the issue ones that he was wearing for the video shoot. And people seem to really like them. I really like them. The back is a little different on the heel, which...
Because it's the tooth of Venom. It's the teeth and jaw of Venom.
But like up on the ankle support on the back... Like where your Achilles would go.
Oh, yeah, it's got that lip.
It's got that lip, which is a little bit odd to me, but what do you guys think of these? I mean, we're getting a signature shoe.
My son is my
son. I like those, but I think I like the other ones more.
my son is the sneaker genius on this. I'll have to ask him what he thinks later. They're okay. I don't know.
Yeah, the ones that you sent over initially, John, I think were some custom shoes that were done by the sneaker guy, I can't remember what his name is, but he does all the custom shoes for the players. And I think that's what those ones were.
Okay, there's somebody that just shared a video that I just shared with you two, shared it, and Donovan retweeted it yesterday. Spider Mitchell in his first signature shoe from Adidas Hoops, giving the crossover an early look.
So, something to watch. From what I saw, I think Eric Woodyard put it out that there would be, this would coincide with like the Spider-Man movie release or something like that. And it was going to be priced at $100, I think, for the movie and the shoes or some sort of coordinated effort that.
Tying it to Far From Home this summer?
Yes. There's an interview.
Probably regretting you didn't do it for Spider-Verse.
Probably. So sneaker will release on July 5th. So we'll see what happens when that commercial comes out and any different colorways. But I think you're going to see a lot of kids in Utah wearing those shoes.
Yeah.
All right.
I can see that.
Let's let's jump over to a little bit of football talk. AB demands a trade from Pittsburgh, says he wants out. What does this mean for the Steelers' future? Are they full rebuild? Is this the end of their good run? Because, I mean, if they're losing their best back and they're losing their best receiver, you know, Ben's getting older. You got Juju there, but what does this mean for the Steelers' offense?
Every time we say it's an end of an era for the Steelers, they find some way somehow to silence the conversation, the doubters. It very well could be. I don't know. I mean, maybe they find a way to salvage something, but it's hard to say right now that they're able to do that, really.
Well, I mean, they were 9-6-1 last year. They were fine. But it was a big dip from where they were previously. And yeah, if they finish like that, and then now they're going to lose him, if they lose him, then I can't say I put much faith in what they're going to be going forward.
And I think it speaks to the organization and the tone in that locker room. You've got two guys, you know, two Pro Bowl guys wanting out. You know, something's just not working there, right?
Yeah, well, they okay, let's look at Tomlin's reign as coach. This was his 11th season, 12th season.
He's won, what, two Super Bowls season. Over that stretch?
Yep. Well, no. He won, I can't remember who was coach the was. I think Bill Cowher was coach the first time Steelers won under Roethlisberger. Tomlin took over. He won the Super Bowl his second year. And they got to the Super Bowl. I'm looking at it here. Okay, they won the Super Bowl in 2008. They got to the Super Bowl in 2010. And then they had a bit of a dip in 2012 and 2013. They finished 8-8 both years. They've had a pretty good run since then, 11-5, 10-6, 11-5, 13-3. This year they were 9-6-1. You know, they've been good, but they've been at that good level that hasn't helped them be anything more than a wild card. So if and now and since Bell left and now Brown wants out, I mean that's those are some key guys. I just don't know where they go from here.
Well, let's talk about another move that's happening in the NFL. Denver made a trade.
Okay. Oh, yes.
And traded for Joe Flacco. And I want to know, what is John Elway thinking?
I'm going to precursor that question. Devin, as a Denver fan, do you like that move?
No, I don't like that move. What okay. is John Elway thinking?
I don't know.
What else was in the trade?
I don't even remember.
What did they trade him for? Because, I mean, Flacco, he was pretty much done in Baltimore. Baltimore had been going down, and he wasn't really that great. So I'm not sure why Denver traded for him, other than they think he's going to help them next year, and they're looking for some short-term pop from him.
How many years does he have left on his contract?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I wonder if that had anything to do with it. Yes, no, maybe?
Does he have left?
Right.
Flacco had 34 has no guaranteed money on his contract. Carries base salaries of $18.5 million for 2019, $20.25 million for 2020, and $24.25 million for 2021.
Okay.
So, let's see.
So is that a potential clear the books move for them? Maybe. Maybe they'll.
No, I think it is for Baltimore.
For Baltimore.
I don't know what Denver's doing with this.
I don't know either.
I mean, Flacco's not your guy going forward. He's 34 years old.
Right.
Shouldn't they be looking to draft a quarterback or
that would be the
find
most...
someone who's a solid backup that's younger? You know, someone who needs an opportunity. This just, it doesn't feel like a good move to me.
Yeah.
If anything, it feels lateral.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be about the same as what they were this year, but it doesn't help them long term. And that's the thing. I'd rather take a step back for a couple of years if I'm a team owner or a GM. And hope to move forward above where I'm at than just to say, okay, I'm content missing the playoffs.
Right.
It's just weird to me.
Yeah.
Was Keenum part of the trade?
I don't think so. I'm trying to find what the specifics were of the trade, but can't be processed until March 13th, blah, blah, blah.
This says... Where will available quarterback Case Keenum end up? I guess they expect him. Oh, here it is. This morning they said that Keenum will be cut or traded. So it looks like they're done with the Keenum experiment. Oh,
that went well. All right, let's talk one more thing then. Okay. Since we're talking football experiments, I want to talk to you guys about the Alliance of American Football.
Yes.
Mm. Salt Lake has a team, professional league, 8 teams in the league, I believe. On the roster, if I recall correctly, there were 17 players with Utah College ties, 10 of them being from Utah, several being from BYU.
Yes.
Did you guys watch the game last weekend? Do you have any interest in this league? How do you see this going? I'm interested because we have friends who are involved in the organization, and for the sake of them, I am definitely cheering for this to go well and succeed. But it is interesting to watch something getting established on the ground level, is it not?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Where are they playing again?
It's another away game.
I know, but where do they what stadium do they call home?
Here they will play at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
Rice-Eccles. Okay. And the season stretches from what? End of college football through spring?
Yeah, it goes to April 12th is the last weekend of the season.
I'll tell you what.
10 weeks.
The last time I was interested in anything local professional when it came to football was the Arena Football League when they were here and played at the now Vivint Smart Home, and I had gone to a game or two of those, and they were fun to go to. But and that was the Utah Blaze, if my memory serves well. But that that was only the only time I was really interested in them is if I went to the game. Otherwise, I didn't really watch. So, not sure I'm interested in this either. And I haven't shown it really hasn't piqued my interest yet. Not really.
Well, you can't even click on the box score. What's that about?
No, it's interesting to see
it's under stats.
So many familiar names. You know what I mean? And I think that's where the big sell is right now, is trying to pull in those college football fans into seeing some of the guys they really liked back a few years ago and giving these guys an opportunity to show what they can do locally as opposed to going to, say, the Canadian League.
Right.
But it's interesting. I know there are some rule changes. I don't think there are kickoffs in this game. From what I was gathering, it looks like they go for 2 points every touchdown.
Instead of
faster pace,
point, right?
You still have field goal kicks. I'm still getting a feel for it. I just watched bits and pieces here and there of the first game at Arizona. But it's a struggle because I'm not emotionally invested in it like I am with college football. You know, where you're already so into a team. And the rivalries and the rankings and everything else, I'm trying to figure how this gets up off the ground and succeeds, because I'd like to see it happen.
Yeah. I would love to see it succeed as well. I just haven't, you know, do they play Saturdays, Sundays? What days do they play?
Sundays, I believe.
Sundays? Okay.
Well, last week they played Saturday and Sunday. Right. I didn't know if that was just an opening week thing, but the games are on CBS, they're on NFL Network. The NFL seems to be taking an interest in this. So we'll see what happens. You know, players can be out of their contract to go to the NFL.
Yeah, that was my next question. Could the NFL essentially draft or call up players from this league and put them on their teams?
Yes.
And do we start, if that's the case, do we start seeing NFL teams affiliations with these local teams? Like maybe the team here in Salt Lake has an affiliation, just like, for example, the Bees do and whatnot, have affiliations with the pro teams. Does this now have an affiliation with the NFL upper echelons?
I don't know. I don't know where this goes, truth be told. I think the league wants to stand on its own. I know that I would want to.
Right.
But if you can find a way to, you know, make those connections and make a smart business move that helps the league grow,
right,
without giving up your flexibility and your profits and whatever have you, then you do so. But I don't know. I just wanted your guys' take. If you're interested, if you'll watch them on TV, if you'll go to the games, you know, is this something we want to talk about? Do we want to follow the Salt Lake Stallions season this spring and kind of see how it goes?
John?
Yeah, I mean, they're on tomorrow. I won't be able to watch them tomorrow. But I'll be curious to see how it goes. it's interesting. I'm looking at the teams. They're all in the southern half of the United States. It's like they wanted them all in warm climates. And I'd say Salt Lake is the northernmost team, but they're all like San Diego, San Antonio, Arizona, Orlando, Memphis. What was the other one? Birmingham. In fact, Birmingham, they play tomorrow in Birmingham.
I wonder what their salary structures are like as well. I mean, you have, again, I'm looking at other leagues. You have the NBA G League, and that salary structure isn't that great for a lot of those players that don't have two-way contracts.
These players are $75,000 per player.
Okay, that's marginal. That's not bad.
No. And if it's a shorter season, and I believe there are incentives and ways that they can, grow from there, not only on the field, but also through like social media and probably like appearances and things like that, because in order to grow the league, they're going to have to do those things. And so encouraging players to do so financially is really going to help them. And I think it's a smart move, truthfully.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right. Is that it for quick hits this week?
Yeah, let's go with that.
All right. Well, then let's move over to pop culture. John, you got a couple movies you want to talk about this week.
I've seen a few. First, I will say I saw What Men Want. This is loosely based on What Women Want, which starred Mel Gibson. So they took the same concept, and that's really the only connection there is. But it's got Taraji P. Henson as a female sports agent at a mostly male agency. And she gets the power to be able to hear men's thoughts, and it has a lot of the broad humor you would kind of expect with a high concept like that. So it really rises and falls on, is it funny? And Taraji P. Henson is pretty funny in it. I thought a lot of the jokes were pretty good. I enjoyed that it was embroiled in the sports world. And so the main plot is she is trying to become the agent for the projected number one pick in the NBA draft. And you can tell what it's going for. It's based on Lonzo and LaVar Ball. The kid's a decent kid who's a good player, and Tracy Morgan is his overprotective, boisterous, always hustling dad, trying to make sure all the marketing's on brand. And so they have a lot of fun with that. And there's cameos from real sports figures like Carl Anthony Towns, Shaquille O'Neal, Mark Cuban shows up. Brian Bosworth plays the head of the agency. Just all these different sports guys popping in there. So I thought it was fun. I mean, if you know what you're expecting, I think it's fun and it's enjoyable. And it got a lot of laughs in the theater when I was there. So I think it's worth seeing.
It intrigues me, although it doesn't.
Yeah.
I saw what Women Want with Mel Gibson, and I don't remember it being as slapstick like funny as this looks like it is.
I don't remember that as slapsticky, but that was a while ago, and it's a completely different,
right?
Writing, directing team, all that stuff. But I thought it was funny. I thought it was worth seeing. The other rom-com I saw was Isn't It Romantic? Me and my wife saw this last night, and it's about a woman who's unlucky in love, who hates romantic comedies, who gets hit on the head, and she wakes up and she is in a romantic comedy where New York is suddenly beautiful and bright, and every shop is rich looking, and Liam Hemsworth shows up and just instantly falls in love with her. And it's funny that it makes fun of romantic comedy tropes while at the same time using all those tropes for the real story, where she has to figure out how to love herself and the guy that actually has a thing for her. So it was fine. It was super cheesy. It has some funny parts. It's okay. It's probably more of a rental, but it's fine. And then the other one I saw was The Prodigy. It's a horror movie about a kid that has this dark spirit that seems to be trying to take over his body. You see in the beginning of the movie that there's the serial killer who gets caught and killed. And as soon as he gets killed, you have this baby born. And so the movie lets you know right away that there's this spirit of this serial killer that's kind of latched onto this baby. And as the kid grows up and he's doing creepy things, you can see the spirit of the serial killer is slowly able to take over times of his consciousness. And, you know, so it's kind of a play on the demon child, like The Bad Seed or The Omen or one of those kind of movies. It stars Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black. The preview, I thought, had a really good scare, and so I was really hoping that the movie could live up to that. And like a lot of horror movies, the best jump scare is in the preview. It did have a lot of legitimately good scary parts. It also had a lot of parts where the director really telegraphs where the scare is going to come from. You know, if I see a close-up on that door twice, I know something's going to jump out of that door the next time you come back to it.
Right.
So it does a lot of stuff like that. And, you know, I kind of give the movie the rules it wants to set up. It wants to set up that reincarnation is a thing. Fine. I'll set it up and I'll give it to you from there. But you still got to follow basic logic of all the other rules in the universe. And there are some dumb things that it did that just wouldn't happen. And especially in the third act, where the mom is trying to come up with a solution to get the spirit out of her son. Her solution is so poorly thought out and so stupid. I was the whole time I'm going, why on earth did you think that would work? And that's where it really fell apart for me. And, you know, for most movies, if it's good, but then the ending sucks, that's what you come out of there going, man, that ending sucked. And that's what happened with this movie. So,
okay. I've been waiting to talk to you about this. I finally saw, as I mentioned to both of you in message, finally saw Unbreakable and Split.
Excellent.
Waiting to see Glass. Not sure when we're going to, but Unbreakable by far is my favorite film of the two. I enjoyed it the most.
I thought it
was wonderful, actually. But Split was, to me, it failed in certain areas, but I thought it was well done, but I thought it was disturbing on so many levels.
Well, yes.
I mean, the one area where I thought it failed, John, and you maybe you can tell me whether you agree with this, but he's got 23 personalities. They really only showed two or three dominant ones, and you didn't see enough of the others, and I almost wanted to see more of the others. Is that bad?
No, they set it up for you that there's this many, and once you give us a number, we're going to want to see that many. And it actually kind of made sense. I thought in the logic of the universe that some personalities are going to be more dominant than others.
Right.
So some you're going to barely see and some you're never going to see.
But the thing that surprised me, the only time we really saw very many of those extra personalities was when she was watching the video on the computer. And then you got a chance to see a few of them for a moment. And there was a couple that she was watching that I kind of wish that they had really gone and run with a little bit more than they did.
Well, I'll just say that you see some more of the personalities in Glass.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, and I've seen mixed reviews on Glass. I remember you talking about it a couple of weeks ago. I'm prepared to see it. I really am not going in with many expectations other than to see the story continue. So, so that said, I want to keep the expectations right there because, again, some folks said they really loved it while others were like, meh. And I even remember you saying you were kind of the same meh on some aspects of it.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to really like it. I saw the reviews, so I went in with low expectations. And because I had low expectations, I was still able to enjoy it. But it had some flaws that were just really hard to overlook.
I also see why Split can be a standalone all itself, because you really have no connection other than the final scene. There's no connection to Unbreakable in that one. And to me, that was another area that you either leave it standalone or you do include both Glass and Unbreakable in it and kind of make you tie it together just a little more, perhaps. But it did well as a standalone all its own.
Yeah. And the main thing I liked about Glass is the acting of the three main guys. So it's cool to see Bruce Willis come back with that character, Samuel Jackson come back with that character, and see them mix with James McAvoy all that stuff worked.
By the way, the ending of Unbreakable, I did, for whatever reason, I thought he did a well enough job. I did not see that coming. I didn't see it that Glass was the one that set that whole thing up. I don't know how I missed that. I just didn't. And so when I saw that, I was like, wait, what? So it, it threw me a little bit. But yeah, it was great. But both films I thought were good, and I enjoyed them both. For those who wanted to know, I had somebody ask me on Twitter, Unbreakable, I rented it on Amazon Prime for $3.99. So you can find it on Amazon Prime. Split is available in Redbox. So I did run to a local Redbox and grabbed that because it is available. I don't know for how much longer, probably for a limited time, though. So we rented it that way. But Unbreakable, yeah, you can find that on Amazon Prime or pretty much wherever you decide to stream or download, you know, other than Netflix. So, I don't have anything else. Devin, you have anything to throw into the conversation?
Well, I do because John left early last week.
Oh, John.
And we had something to talk about, John.
Yes.
Abducted in Plain Sight.
Oh.
I watched it. Everyone's watched it. Everyone but Alan. Alan
I haven't yet, and I'm debating still. Haven't? I'm still debating.
Oh, man.
We said we were going to do spoilers.
Yes, you did, and you can do spoilers all you want. I've read a few spoilers already. Like I said, I'm still debating. I don't know. Please, carry on.
What the actual freaking heck did I watch?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a documentary in the worst parents ever. Like, that's what it is.
It's like, how can you be that naive and that gullible and just have such a lack of common sense? Like, it's as if common sense didn't exist in the 70s. Yeah, it was staggering. And I feel like there's got to be more that didn't come out in that documentary, because a lot of it just didn't make sense.
Well, I mean, you're watching it and you're like, okay, the guy's flirting with the kid, which is weird, and the mom's like, oh, he's just a nice guy, and so he starts flirting with the mom and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But when it got to the point of, hey, let's go for a ride.
The dad, yeah.
Yeah, and the memes are amazing. This has given some of my favorite memes of all time. But it's just like, really? Like that, like, no.
Yeah, and how it reveals all this stuff, and she's kidnapped, and they finally get her back, and she's different. And then she gets kidnapped again, and you're like, how? How can these people be so stupid?
Well, it's not just that. It's, well, I put her on a plane. What?
Yeah.
And then, oh, she's gone again. We can't get a hold of her. You know, or hey, this guy took my daughter. I think I'll wait through the weekend to contact the police.
Yeah.
Wait. Is this actual naivety, or is this really just stupidity?
Well, both.
Okay.
I mean, you can't be this stupid and not be naive. And I mean, there's something kind of twisted about it because I don't know. Maybe there's just something about Mormon culture in the 70s where if a guy is a member of your ward, he is just to be trusted. There's no way that anyone in your ward would actually betray trust or do anything untoward or what. Because that seemed to be a wedge that he had in there. And maybe some things just weren't talked about in the 70s, like pedophilia. But my goodness, it's just staggering how many bad decisions they made.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest, John, that I don't think it was just singled out to the Mormon Church at the time or wards or whatnot either, because I think that level of maybe trust, if you will, existed in more than just that culture at that time too.
You look at Catholicism and things going on in the 70s, but for this particular family, that's that's the mentality I'm trying to understand, how how they can be so stupid and so naive and just so gullible.
And it's not just that. It was also the fact that, correct me if I'm wrong, if I recall while watching the show, there were other families who were like, yeah, this guy's kind of weird around my kids. Like, wouldn't the community, like, warn other families? You wouldn't just be like, oh, yeah, this guy was creepy with my daughter, but, you know, now it's Bob's problem over, you know, two blocks away. That's what?
You know, it's kind of a weird thing about, I mean, things that just weren't talked about. I mean, if you go back earlier with like child molestation, especially if it's like with trusted figures or with family members, it was just like something people just didn't talk about. It was addressed quietly when it was addressed. And that's the way a lot of perpetrators were able to get away with what they did, because it was just something polite company didn't talk about.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, it's just so bizarre to me. And I'm just going to spoil things right now, that you have a guy who kidnaps your daughter, gets your husband to give him some relief, I think was the term that was used.
Yeah.
You send your daughter away with him a second time. You form a sexual relationship with this guy after the fact. It's just like, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
And you wonder why I haven't watched this yet. The more you two talk about it, the more I'm just not interested. It's just,
how are you not interested? Everyone is talking about it.
It,
I don't know.
So, it's so jaw dropping what happened. It's just one of those things where you just can't make it up. It's so amazing how dumb these people are, that if you wrote a fictional script about it, no producer would make it, because like these people are just too stupid. There's no way something like this would happen. Audiences wouldn't buy it.
Yeah. And that's kind of like I said, I paused while watching it, you know, mentally paused. I couldn't pause the actual show, cause I just wanted to know where this was going, but it's just like, how is this even real? How is this even real? And I had a friend who I said, you should watch this show because it's freaking crazy. She turned it off once, and then people kept talking about it. So she turned it on a second time. I don't think she's finished it yet. Like, just can't get past these people, because it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then to make a documentary about it of, hey, look how stupid we are, is just icing on the cake.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and Jan Broberg, she's a figure in the community. She's been in a few locally made movies, and Baptist at Our Barbecue, I think, was the one most people know her from. I never saw it. I think she was also in Mobsters and Mormons and maybe a couple others, but
none of those I've seen.
She was at BYU for a while. She's directed some plays and whatnot. And it's just amazing that, I mean, her story is just and what it did to her, because I mean, when he first kidnapped her, what was it? He like said that there were these aliens and they had a plan and they could hear her thoughts, and
yeah.
And it was just amazing how he was able to brainwash her, and how long it took her, because she was a kid and she believed him, and it took her years to finally get that out of her head. I mean, geez, it's just amazing that anything like this ever happened.
and the sad part is, I'm sure it's still happening.
Probably.
I'm sure that there are people who, maybe not to the same extent, because this is next level crazy, but this is how it happens, is people being passive and trusting and people being manipulative and everything like that. It's just wild to see at this level, but I think it's something good for people to watch as a reminder of, hey, even if the next door neighbor is nice, you know where to put the lines, know where to draw the lines.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Devin, you've been itching to talk about that for 2 weeks.
I've been upset for 2 weeks needing to get this out.
Oh.
Yeah, Alan, go online and go watch it and then tweet something out right at the beginning. Just as soon as you hit the first WTF moment, just tweet it out and watch. Just watch your mentions go. Because everyone wants to talk about it.
Oh, boy. Oh, all right. Well, that's your pop culture talk this week. Quite a bit to talk about. And yeah, I have no way to after that conversation. I'm not even sure how to end this, guys. Seriously.
We appreciate you listening. We hope you enjoy NBA All-Star Weekend as best as you can. Remember to tell your friends, tell your family to give us a listen. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Be sure to give us a like on Facebook and a follow on Twitter.
And check out Devin's band, Oxford Grey. How'd the concert go the other day, real quick?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. We had a great time.
Did you have a good turnout?
Yeah, we had a good turnout. Had some wonderful friends from Twitter show up, which I appreciate very much.
And awesome.
We'll get another one out there soon.
All right, check out Oxford Grey. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.